2014, the year of victory over death and the manifestation of love. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank Sasso from A History with God Ministries, welcoming all of our listeners, our partners, our members, our subscribers, our friends and family, and any first-time listeners just tuning in. I have with me today my lovely wife, Christina.
Hello.
Please stay tuned for the Q&A, the Godcast Q&A, immediately following this Godcast today.
Yes.
We are going to talk to you today about a very cool topic. We call this podcast The Tetrad.
Okay.
All right, The Tetrad.
Yes.
What am I talking about? The Tetrad. What is that? Is that like a supervillain? What is that, The Tetrad?
No, it's not a supervillain.
People are so eager to know.
Okay. Well, a tetrad is four consecutive lunar eclipses happening within almost a year's time period.
Lunar eclipse. That's when the Earth blocks out the moon?
Right. The Earth's shadow blocks out the moon so it doesn't reflect the light of the sun.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
It goes dark.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about this.
Wait. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay. Well, I'm very excited about this.
All right. Well, I want to give a little bit of why are we talking about this? Well, back in at the end of March,
uh-huh.
I was led through a series of coincidences to watch The Believer's Voice of Victory.
There is no such thing as a coincidence.
Aha! I know.
Mm-hmm. Wonder why you use that word.
Not to go into all the details, because I don't want to make this a really, really long story. But I was led through all these different little trails
right.
to watch this Believer's Voice of Victory. And what I thought I was watching wasn't what was on. What was funny about it was that show was recorded back in February, but they were airing it when I was watching it.
You were watching a pre-recorded show by about
right.
2 months.
Right, but okay. What they were talking about, it was the coming tetrads in April, which was basically the next month. I was watching it on March 28th or something.
Okay, and talking about this month we're in now, April.
Right, talking about this month, April. And
gotcha.
I said, oh, how interesting that I just happened to be watching this at this time.
just happened to be watching it.
Right. And the fact that I also have been really, really reading about the Hebrew and the Hebrew language and so on.
Right.
So anyway, so it's all like kind of tying together for me. So to explain, a tetrad is a full lunar eclipse.
Okay.
Four of them consecutively, one after the other in a series. They also call it a blood moon. And that's not being called a blood moon by Christians. It's called a blood moon by NASA.
A blood moon.
A blood moon.
So
right.
The NASA scientists call lunar eclipses a blood moon.
Well, these particular kinds, yes.
Why is that?
Because of the way the light hits it or whatever, the moon appears to be the color of blood.
Oh, I see. Okay. Which was in the Bible, wasn't it? The moon will turn to blood?
Yes.
Interesting.
And I really encourage you to go back to that Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, Kenneth Copeland Ministries website, and you can download Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, their archives, and so on, and you can watch it.
I did all that.
Okay.
I already watched it.
I'm talking to our listeners.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Also,
you want to encourage me to do that?
Meaning the listener. Also, Eagle Mountain Church had Billy Brim come in and do basically a teaching on this.
Yeah.
And that is also on their website,
emic.org.
You can go to their media section and go into archives and you can look up.
Look up Billy Brim.
Yeah, she was there on a Sunday in the morning and the evening, and then the following Monday in the morning and the evening. So it's a four-part thing.
You can also go to kcm.org and check it out there, too, the show.
Right. So you can get so much information there because you really have to kind of study a little bit about the Hebrew and everything, and I'll explain that in a minute.
All right.
All right, so there's going to be these four blood moons.
Okay.
Okay. Let me just give you the dates, because they're coming up.
There are the actual dates.
Yes. The eclipses that have happened and are going to happen can be predicted for the past and for the future, because it's so precise, which is like an amazing thing. How can people think that the Earth was created in such a random way?
Yeah.
Just look at the stars and the sun and the moon.
Right.
And you can't think that this is just a random act.
Right.
Because everything is so precise.
And perfect.
It can be predicted to the day.
Wow.
So the first one is going to be April 15th, 2014.
Tax day. That's
<Yay.
laughs> next week.
Yes. The
wow.
second one is going to be October 8th, 2014.
Okay.
The next one is going to be April 4th, 2015. And the next one after that is going to be September 28th, 2015.
So the third blood moon is going to be next April, next year.
Right.
And the last one's September of 2015.
Correct. That is really, really rare for this to happen.
Interesting.
These four blood moons. But there's more. There's also going to be two solar eclipses within that time period.
Two solar eclipses?
Right.
Now, what's a solar eclipse?
A solar eclipse is when the moon moves in front of the sun and blocks the light of the sun from our vision, the Earth.
Well, how often does that happen?
I'm not sure. I'm not really an expert on this, but I've been looking at this particular thing. So, again, that can be predicted to the day.
Really?
And you can also trace it back to the beginning of whenever it was recorded, because it's just so precise.
Okay. All right. So when's the solar eclipse going to happen?
There's a complete full solar eclipse going to take place on March 20th, 2015. And then a partial solar eclipse is going to take place on September 13, 2015, within that year.
Oh.
So it's really that is even more rare. So to have a tetrad is very rare. To have a tetrad with a solar eclipse in it, let alone two in it, is really, really rare. But there's more.
I'm very confused.
Why are you confused?
Because I don't know what any of this means!
What don't you know it means? What are you talking about?
What does this have to do with God?
Well, first of all, let me not even go on. Let me just tell you about the moon. The moon is God's signpost in the sky. It's all through scripture. He gave the moon as a sign to us.
Okay.
For things to look out for and to mark time and so on. Because you know God doesn't live in time.
Right.
So he gave us time for our purposes.
Okay.
Because we're in this defined moment.
Right, right. I got you.
God lives outside of time.
Yes.
And the moon is kind of like the timekeeper.
Huh.
I really encourage you to, meaning you, the listener.
And me too, at
and
this
you
point,
too.
Because
to listen to the Billy Brim message, because she gets into such detail. And some of it you might say, oh, this is boring. I just want to hear about the blood moons. But if you have the background of it, it really becomes very awesomely cool.
Yeah, okay. I'm
going to
look into this again now.
Yes. We're talking about God's calendar here, all right?
Right?
God
right.
has a calendar. Now, if he has a calendar and he has dates circled on the calendar.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you circle my birthday.
Of course.
And our anniversary.
Of course. Those are the only two things I circle.
Of course.
What else is there?
And so those are important dates. They're like,
yes.
Oh, look what's coming up.
Right.
If God had a calendar,
yes.
which he does, and he circled dates on it, wouldn't you want to know?
I'd like to take a peek at that calendar.
Right.
Absolutely.
You wouldn't say, I'm not interested in that.
No, absolutely.
I'd be like, whoa, what's coming up, Lord?
Yeah,
what do you want,
what do you want me
to know about?
Exactly.
Okay, so that's why I'm bringing this out to you.
Very
okay,
cool.
So very cool. Tetrad, very rare.
Tetrad is very rare.
Even rarer, the solar eclipse is in the midst of that. Now, here's the infinitesimally more rare thing.
What's that?
That these events are happening on the Jewish feast days.
Wait a second. You're telling me that the four blood moons
mm-hmm.
and the solar eclipse
mm-hmm.
and then the partial solar eclipse, all six of those events are happening on like a high holy day?
Billy Brim calls them moeds.
Moeds.
Yeah. It's not really the correct pronunciation, but she said for our purpose, let's call them moeds.
Okay, so
it's the Hebrew word. Right.
These are happening on the feasts, on the moeds,
mm-hmm.
another word for Jewish feast days.
Right.
Okay. That's when these blood moons
all
and solar eclipses, all these things are
yes.
happening on date. Wow.
That has only happened three times in the past 500 years.
What?
Yes. So, just to go through it. April 15th is Passover.
That's the first blood moon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
October 8th, 2014 is Sukkot.
Sukkot.
It's the Feast of Tabernacles.
Sukkot. Okay, that's the second blood moon.
Mm-hmm. The third one is Nisan.
Nisan.
Mm-hmm.
That's the third blood moon?
That's March 20th, 2015.
That's the third blood moon?
No, that's the solar eclipse.
Oh, the solar eclipse is happening in the middle of the blood moon.
Right smack in the middle. Right?
Oh my gosh.
Now, the next one, April 4th, is Passover again.
Because it's
the following
year.
2015.
Okay.
Then the partial solar eclipse is Feast of Trumpets, which is September 13th, 2015.
Okay.
And then the last blood moon is going to be September 28th, 2015, and that's, again, the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. Yep.
That's the day after our first conference.
Oh, yes, we'll talk about that in a little while.
This is interesting now.
So, we say, well, what does this all mean?
Right.
Well, as I said before, the moon is God's signpost in the sky.
Right, you said that.
Well, let's look at then what happened the last time there was a tetrad with a solar eclipse on a Jewish feast day.
Okay.
All right, the first time this happened was back in 1493.
1493, what happened
then? Now, why does that date sound familiar?
1493, I think of Christopher Columbus,
right.
1492, however.
Right. So, around that time was when the Jews were being persecuted in Spain.
Okay.
And just to make a long story short, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain ordered all the Jewish people to leave the country.
All right.
And they had to be scattered.
The Jews had to be scattered.
Right. They were expelled from Spain. Around that same time, Columbus was sailing for a new world. You have to understand that this was a really major thing because Jews were very deeply woven into the fabric of Spain. And their history is very tied together.
Okay.
And so this was a very devastating thing to happen. I'm just going to read you an excerpt from Christopher Columbus's diary.
Oh, how'd you get a hold of that?
I just happen to have it. In the same month in which their majesties, Ferdinand and Isabella, issued the edict that all Jews should be driven out of the kingdom and its territories, in the same month they gave me the order to undertake with sufficient men my expedition of discovery to the Indies. So these things were happening at the same time. And what's interesting is very soon after that happened in Spain, Spain's fortunes turned. They used to be one of the richest, most powerful countries at the time. And soon after they did this, their fortunes started to decline. They've never recovered.
Wow. To this day?
Yeah, to this day. Now, what's also interesting is Columbus discovers America, which ends up being a haven for Jewish people.
Okay, right.
And partially why this country is so blessed.
Amen.
So that was the first time this happened in the past 500 years.
Okay, so the Jews were forced out of Spain in 1493.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time the tetrad happened.
Happened on the Jewish
holidays.
Okay, right.
Gotcha.
Yes. Okay.
What was the second time it happened?
The second time it happened was in 1949.
So 1949. So that was like after World War II.
Yeah.
Like soon after World War II.
Well, a few years after.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know if people are aware of what was happening at that time, but it happened during the first Arab-Israeli War for Independence, just after Israel had become a nation again for the first time in 2,000 years.
Oh, so that was a biggie right there.
Yes, because that was prophesied. The people of Israel had been scattered around the world.
Right.
And now they were proclaiming themselves a nation, and that happened in 1948. The first permanent government took office on January 25th, 1949.
Wow. Okay, so the second time there was a tetrad was when Israel became a nation.
Right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. All right, so...
Well, on May 14th, 1948, Israel proclaimed its independence.
Okay.
And then less than 24 hours later, the regular armies of Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq invaded the country, forcing Israel to defend the sovereignty it had regained.
Hmm.
That was known as the Israel War of Independence.
And that was also the second...
Which they won, which was a miracle.
Hmm.
It's so funny, if
which
you...
was prophesied.
Yes.
Okay.
That Israel would regain its land, it would regain itself as a nation, and so on. It's just interesting when you start to, like, look at all this stuff. Because I had to look at a map, because for me, I have to visualize where these places are.
Right.
So I'm looking at Israel, and then I'm looking all the countries around it. Here's this little sliver of a country.
Yes, right. It's tiny.
With these big, giant, like Egypt and Saudi Arabia and all these other countries, like hovering over it.
Yeah.
And this little country has just been protected and maintained because it's still God's people.
That's right. Amen.
So that was the second time that this event has taken place. 1949 to 1950, Israel took its place as a nation again.
Is this time happening now? Is that the third time?
No, there was a third time.
There was a third time?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. What happened on the third time of the Tetrad?
Well, the third time was between 1967 and 1968.
Well, now 68, that's when I was born.
Yes.
So that must have been that must have been it.
Yeah. That and...
And what else?
Well, you laugh, but I believe that if you watch Billy Brim on emic.org, she talks about things in people's lives. Like, yes, we're taking this on a very grand scale, a world-changing event. Mm-hmm. But also, if you take it on the individual level, they actually were able to pinpoint these dates in particular people's lives and what was happening.
That's right, because she starts talking about how she met Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin.
Right.
And it was during, like, Blood Moon events or something.
It was actually one of these dates.
Oh, that you know, you're right. Okay,
so,
you're
like,
right.
I think I said this in a past podcast where you can find yourself in the Bible. We are all in there.
That's right. That's actually one of the questions
in the
Q&A.
All right, so back to 1967 and 1968. This coincides with the Six-Day War, which is when Israel recaptured Jerusalem. I believe up until that point, Palestine had control over Jerusalem. It was part of their, quote-unquote, countries, I guess you would call it.
Okay.
After the Six-Day War, Israel recaptured Jerusalem, and it became part of Israel. It became part of the Jewish state.
So Israel got Jerusalem back.
Right.
And that was the third tetrad.
And that was the third tetrad in 500 years that took place on the Jewish Moeds.
All right, let me roll this back in my head just for a minute.
Okay.
The first tetrad, four blood moons, was when Spain kicked the Jews out.
Right.
That was the first tetrad.
Right.
The second tetrad is when they got Israel back. Well, actually, they got it as it became a nation.
Right.
That was in the 40s, early 50s, late
48, 40s. 49 to 50, right.
Okay. The third tetrad was not only the year I was born, but also they got Jerusalem back.
Right.
That's the third tetrad. And those are three huge things.
Yes.
So what's this? This is now the fourth tetrad.
Right.
So what's going to happen for the fourth tetrad?
Well, here's the thing. If you look at all these things, it's like God is putting signposts in the sky, which he says he's going to do in his word. He's going to use the moon as signs for what's going to happen. Look in the sky. I mean, Jesus even says it.
That's right, he does.
So you look to the sky and you see this is happening. Something is going to change. Something world-changing always happens. And in this particular example, as you can see, it has to do with Israel.
So we can definitely say the tetrad that's happening now, something's going to change.
Jesus also said, look to the fig tree. The fig tree is a symbolic of Israel.
Of Israel, right.
So you want to find out what's going on, what's going to happen in the future, where are we in our end times? Look to the fig tree. Look at Israel. What's going on in Israel? What's happening in the Middle East right now?
Right.
You know, and then it's not to get you afraid because we win all the time. I mean, if you look at the history of what's happened in Israel and what's happened to the Jewish people, God has his hand on them through all of this.
Yeah.
And we are part of that because we are his children as well, because we've been bought through the blood.
That's been
adopted. So something is going to happen. I don't know what it is. Nobody really can predict what it is. I mean, we can all make assumptions or whatever, but we should be keeping our eyes open. We should be praying for Israel.
Absolutely.
We should be praying for our own country so that our own country doesn't abandon Israel or press for the wrong kind of things in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That is Israel's land. And I'm sorry, it's not going to change.
It's not going to change.
Politics and governments and wars are not going to change that.
I know. They think they're going to.
Yeah.
They're not.
God has decreed it. Please don't think that you're going to come with a tank and change anything.
Yeah. Ain't going to work.
And what's interesting about this, too, is during this time, and it wasn't even kind of related, but is kind of related, is we were watching the Kim Clement prophecies.
Yes.
And he's talking about Israel. He's talking about Russia and Iran and Syria, right, and all these different things. And this seems like there's this little pressure point building. And yet now we have these blood moons coming in the same year.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like coincidence.
That's right. And John Hagee wrote a book.
Yes, he wrote a book called The Four Blood Moons. And it has another title. I think it is The World is About to Change.
I think that's the subtitle.
The subtitle,
yeah. And that's out now.
Yes.
Four Blood Moons.
You can
moons.
Go to Barnes & Noble and buy
that's
it.
That's what we were just saying the other day.
Yes, it was.
Looking at that. Well, there it is.
You can go on his website and buy it, or Amazon, or whatever.
John Hagee, I believe, johnhagee.com, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so cool.
And there's so much more. It's just really interesting, and different sites have different takes on it. You can find a lot of things, and you can go to a regular scientific site. Like I said, go to NASA. There's a specific site for NASA eclipses,
mm-hmm,
and you can look at this for yourself.
Yeah, do some research, people.
They're called blood moons, not from, you know, the Old Testament. They're called blood moons by NASA.
I believe NASA got it from the Bible.
Maybe they did.
Moon will turn to blood.
There's pictures. You can go to and see pictures. You can research this yourself. What's really cool is Billy Brim talks about the holidays, too, or the holy days, or the feast days, or the modems. Or not modems. Moeds. The Moeds. And again, I don't think that's the correct pronunciation, but that's the word she uses for our benefit.
Mm-hmm.
The Moeds. And she talks about what those mean to us today. It's not just a lot of, oh, that's the Old Testament, and I don't really need to. First of all, the whole Bible is all about one thing.
Go.
One, two, three.
Jesus!
The whole Bible is about him and his relationship with us and him revealing the nature of God to us and all that. So, these Jewish feast days, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast, all of them,
mm-hmm,
relate to either what's been accomplished already at the cross or what's going to be accomplished at the end of the days.
Mm, that is so cool.
So, the feast days of Passover and Sukkot, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. So these feasts are either accomplished by Jesus,
right,
or they're going to be accomplished in the future.
Okay.
They all reflect Jesus in some way. They still have a relevance to us as Christians.
Right.
I mean, if you just study Passover, because Passover is coming up next week, if you just study the whole Passover story, it's totally the story of Jesus.
I know. It is. Totally.
I mean, even the way it's celebrated. Even the what the Jews do to celebrate.
Yeah.
The whole, when I found out about the unleavened bread, like, you just look at a matzah.
A matzah, yeah.
The matzah is unleavened,
right,
meaning leavening is a symbol of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jews have to remove all leaven from their house. The bread that they use doesn't have any yeast in it, so it's flat.
Right.
It's like a cracker.
Like,
if you look at a month. And it's pierced.
Right. Has all those
holes
in it.
It has all these little holes in it.
It's also burnt on one side.
What does that mean?
It's like Jesus' body, mm-hmm, was like marred.
Oh, okay. And then what they do is there are three pieces of matzah. Interesting. Three pieces.
Three, yeah.
And they take the middle piece and they break it.
Okay.
They wrap it in a white cloth and then they hide it. And then I think the tradition is the children are supposed to find it.
Oh, okay. That's the tradition. Yeah.
Right. Okay. But it's funny that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the middle one,
right,
is broken.
Yes.
And then hidden.
Yes.
It's just, it's interesting. And if you study the Passover, you'll see how it's totally tied to the blood covering.
Yeah.
What Jesus did to wash away sins. And that's just one of the feasts.
That's very cool.
I would encourage you to go and do your own research.
Mm-hmm.
Go to NASA. Go to their website.
Oh, go to NASA.
If you're,
take a trip.
Maybe if you're in, where is it, in Florida?
Yeah.
In Cape Canaveral? Is that NASA?
Now you're getting a little too...
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I know, anyway, it's in Florida.
Yeah, because we got a mug from the Axum.
We got a mug from the Axum.
There it is, right there.
I'm actually drinking coffee out of it right now. Hang on a minute.
Oh, look at that. Very good.
Thank you, Axums.
So... do your own research so you know I'm not making all this up. Go to the...
Yeah, we're not making this up.
No.
We're giving you dates when the moon is going to turn red.
Right.
We're not making it up. Trust us.
Go to emic.org.
Yes.
Check out Billy Brim's visit there. She will explain everything in detail. And it's well worth you listening to. It will really, really expand your mind about how precise God is. Just when you look at your cells, weren't we talking about something about the Big Bang Theory the other night? You were telling me
Because I was talking with Pastor Alan and Tim and Josh, and Alan was all excited about this. What's going on now is that they're realizing that there has to be more to it.
Who is realizing?
Scientists, just science.
The Boffins.
I'm really, really paraphrasing this. This is so watered down, it's not even funny.
Okay.
But the general idea is there's no way that the Big Bang Theory, the way they talk about it, could have happened like that. It's like it went bang, and ever since then, the universe is still expanding to this day, but the way it's expanding is so perfectly expanding. It's perfect.
And precise.
And precise. There's no way it could just be from a big chaotic thing. You don't get order from chaos.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Right. You just get more chaos.
You just get more chaos. Exactly.
What is that,
right.
The law of entropy?
I think that's right. But it's just like the way it's expanding as well in like perfect concentric circles.
Yes.
Maybe I'll have Pastor Alan on to explain it because he totally understands what I'm trying to say.
Well, he's an engineer, isn't he?
Well, I'm going to say yes. He is an engineer.
Okay.
If he's listening to this right now, which I'm sure he is, he's probably laughing right now.
But I just think it's really cool because if you just look at the human body and you just take it to be just... I mean, we can go anywhere with that. The human body and the way the muscles function, the way the bones function, the way the organs function. Now you take it down to the cellular level.
Amazing.
If you look at a cell, which is just protoplasm and mitochondria and a nucleus and DNA and RNA, it's amazing that these things just run the whole body.
Right.
And not just in humans, but in every living thing.
Those words you were using just now, I have no idea.
We actually are going to have somebody...
Speaking about the body.
Yes. We're going to have someone on who we love.
His name is Pat Greco. He will be on next week.
Oh, okay.
Pat Greco. He is actually our nutritionist.
Right.
And our workout designer. Well, he designed the workout for us.
Right, right. He is a trainer. He's a personal trainer.
Yeah, he trains bodybuilders.
Yes, and they win.
Yeah, and they win all the time.
And he's a bodybuilder
And he's won...
Well.
Many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I just might take a picture next
you
week.
Should.
I'm going to take
should.
A picture of all the trophies in his office.
Yes.
And I might even take a picture of his wife.
Yes.
And just show you guys with this. When you hear him talk about the body, you are going to leave with such an understanding. We're going to leave you his contact information. You can call him up. You can send him emails. You can go to his website. Whatever you want to do.
Right.
You're going to enjoy him so much.
He knows his stuff.
Right.
Go back to the designer. Go back to the original design. Because I remember when, you know, when you wanted to lose weight, I'm like, don't eat any fat. Just eat pasta. Well, I remember when pasta was supposed to be a diet food. And then it was, no, don't eat pasta.
Eat just meat.
Just meat. Just meat.
Meat, meat, meat.
Oh, no, that's no good. So, you know, there's going to be a diet that...
Just eat salad. Just eat lettuce.
Just lettuce all the time. Or the grapefruit diet. Or you need to go for liposuction. Or your body type is this. Or your blood level is this. Or whatever. Here's the bottom line. Go to the one who designed it. Go to the creator.
Right.
See how he made it work.
Right.
And what you're supposed to do to make it work optimally.
We're getting off into this
I know.
Pat Greco
but I'm just what
that.
I'm trying so to let, get back to is how perfect your body is designed.
Right.
And if you feed it and you exercise it the way God intended you to, you will be fit, you will be healthy, you will be slim, and you won't have to ever go on diets anymore or feel guilty about eating a piece of chocolate.
Right, and that works for your finances.
Yes.
That works for your relationships. That works with your walk with the Lord. Everything. All right, listen, I got to now cut us off.
No!
We are out of time. We got to get into the Godcast Q&A. So, JJ, do me a quick favor. Just lead us into the Godcast Q&A. Bye-bye.
Questions. You have them. Let's open up the mailbag in today's Godcast Q&A.
And And here we are. We're in the GodKiss Q&A for April 2014.
Yay!
Blood moon coming. Okay. Let's jump right in. Question. When is the next best of show, and how do you choose which ones to replay? I honestly don't, like, there's no pattern, there's no, like, way I choose it, there's no process. I just go, I like this one.
Okay.
And that's really it.
And when, why do you put them up?
Well, that leads me to this next part. When is the next best of show? When I realize that it's coming up to midnight and it's due the next day, that's when the next best of show is.
And you still haven't finished work.
Right.
And so, you're like, I don't want to stay up till 4 in the morning.
It's all about me being a baby. I'm just being honest. Okay? Okay. This next one is entitled Helpful. I really liked when Christina read the Old Testament with her standing in the New Covenant. That was very helpful for me. Thank you.
Huh. Yeah. That's helpful for me, too.
Yes.
I'm glad it helped you as well. It did help me.
That was very, very cool.
I could see the New Covenant in the Old.
Right.
It just has been accomplished.
Absolutely. So now you can read it with you in there.
Right.
And with your rights in the kingdom.
Right.
Next question. I'd like a donut is the name it is. I'd like a donut myself, but...
No.
We can't have that right now. That guy, Dan, that was on with Chris, was great. Oh, he's talking about Chris Lozier.
Yes.
That's what I meant you for a minute. 25 dozen donuts. Yow! Only God can anoint something like donuts and have it open someone's heart. God, if you don't know what we're talking about.
God can do anything.
You want to go back about two or three podcasts there's a podcast called Anybody Want a Donut? And that was with Chris Lozier from InterVarsity.
And we just had Chris over.
Yeah, he was at our board of directors meeting.
Yes, he was explaining to us more about InterVarsity. It's a really awesome program.
Yeah, the staff and the faculty change. They get transformed, and then campuses get renewed, and then they become world changers.
Yes,
it was very. That was great.
Yeah. So check out InterVarsity. Maybe in your area, maybe there's a college near you. Maybe you are in college. Check it out.
Yes, InterVarsity. It's all one word. The video podcasts are the best. I love how it looks, and it's cool to actually see Tim, Frank, and Keith. Is Christina, Teresa, and Mary going to be on, or is it just kind of a boys' club kind of thing?
No chance.
It's totally a boys' club kind of thing.
It is not. Please.
All right, relax. The next one. Yes! More video godcasts!
Yes!
All right, well, I'm glad you're excited about them. Oh, this is interesting. Bible code. That's the name of this.
Mm-hmm.
So, then there is a Bible code? Are you saying Da Vinci was right? Are you saying that there really is a Bible code? Do you believe that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married then?
Wait a minute. First of all, I can't...
What are they talking about?
Well, remember when I was saying that you're in the Bible? There.
Oh, right.
You can
there
find
is a code.
Yourself.
Yes.
It's so deep. But first of all, let me address the question.
Yes. Are you saying Da Vinci was right?
I don't know, because I don't know what Da Vinci said.
Okay.
I know the book, the Da Vinci Code.
Right.
I don't know. I don't. The movie, if it's anything like the movie, no.
Okay.
I don't agree with
that. Here's another question. So then there is a Bible code?
Yes.
Okay.
When you start, here's my challenge to you.
Okay.
When you start studying the word with the Hebrew language, please understand, I do not understand Hebrew. I'm doing this one letter at a time. And doing it one letter at a time is so deep.
Yeah, I'm sure, I know. Some of the letters you show, you already told me about.
That like, you have to believe that there's a code in there. I'm in there. Me, Christina, Sino, Sasso, is in the Word of God.
Yes.
My life is in there. It's been in there since before the foundations of the earth. So, yeah, I do believe there's a Bible code. Do I think we're going to crack it? No. I think that's one of the things we're going to have fun with in heaven. Like, just diving into the Word with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus and, you know, all the other guys up there, you know,
right.
The prophets. And
that's so cool.
It's just going to be fun. But, yes, I do believe there's a Bible code. No, if the Da Vinci Code movie was anything of what the Da Vinci Code is, which I don't know, I would say no.
Well, it asks, do you believe that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married?
Absolutely not.
No, we don't believe that.
No.
It's not true.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Jesus was not married. You know why he's not married? Because he's already married. He's married to the church.
Yes.
He's the bridegroom. We're the bride.
Amen.
So he's not a polygamist.
Next. Did any people at a History with God cast ever do a Bible study or were involved in one? Okay, we were involved in one.
Yep.
All right. I'm in one at my church and it's so boring. Can they give me some ideas I could tell my pastor to help the Bible study nights be more exciting? I don't think it's God that's boring, just the way we do the studies. We just sit and read along with the pastor. Any ideas? Thanks. Well, do you have any ideas?
I don't know if you want to open that can of worms.
I'm not
pastor bashing, but I have been in many a Bible study that was a snoozer.
Yeah, I can definitely
And it
relate.
Wasn't because the person running it didn't have a heart for the Lord and didn't love the Lord. And I think the people who start them really want to die, but they don't know how.
Right.
So it ends up being, let's read.
A snoozer.
And really, I can read at home. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't like someone reading to me either.
I know you can't stand it. I'm like, why are we reading this? I can read it at home. I want to get some insight or at least be led to find my own insight.
Yeah, let's rip it apart.
That's the best thing.
Yeah.
If you can get into a Bible study that encourages you and leads you to find your own insight through your own study with the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
Now that's a Bible study I can get behind.
Yeah, absolutely. So I hope you can just take that and run with that.
You might end up in a Starbucks with three other like-minded people who want to just tear into the Bible and pray about it and say, hey, you know what the Holy Spirit revealed to me? And that's kind of what you guys
do. That's what we do every Monday night.
Like, Tim will get some kind of revelation from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He'll bring it to Starbucks, and then maybe you got a revelation, and the two of you can, you know, will wrestle with that. And
right.
Then, you know, maybe Josh comes in with another perspective, and it's just kind of like a big discussion
yeah.
about the Word. And
yeah.
that's the Bible study.
And we discuss it, and then Alan comes in like 20 minutes later, and he'll just say one thing that confirms the whole revelation.
Right, right.
And yeah, it is very, that's what you want to get going. Definitely.
Yeah, so I would agree with you about, I am really, really, totally against reading, just reading, now you read, now we'll talk about it, now you read. I have a big problem with that. I don't know what your relationship is with the person who runs it and what their, I don't know. I'm not
yeah.
one to, well, I am one to step
you,
on
You certainly
toes,
don't
but,
want to go up to the pastor and say, hey, I have some ideas that may, that'll make the Bible study nights more exciting.
And less boring. Yeah,
and
that's
less boring. Yeah, that's not going to work.
That's a bad one. But I don't know, maybe you could feel out the waters a little bit. You don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
No.
And cause really, I think if someone is running a Bible study, they must have a heart to seek the Lord and they want to share it. And maybe they just don't know how. So
yeah.
pray about it.
Yeah, be led by the Spirit.
Yeah,
He'll
maybe
lead
the
you.
Holy Spirit will open some doors.
Absolutely.
There.
Next up is the Women in Ministry. Oh, the Women in Ministry podcast was great. I felt it really debunked the rules and regs concerning women in church leadership. Why does Scripture get so screwed up? Yeah,
well, because
man is involved, that's why. And anytime you'll have people, you're going to have screw-ups.
You're going to have a mess.
So,
believe me, I've made it my share of messes.
Yes, me too. I just listened to the Youth Avenue Update podcast and wanted to know if James got a cell phone because of the podcast. Well, that was a while ago we did that.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't even a best of. So this person dug in and listened to that. That's right.
James did get a cell phone.
He did get one.
Let's put it this way. It was definitely a gift.
Yes. So he now has a cell phone. Thank you for your question.
And he loves it.
He loves that thing.
And
well,
loves
he enjoys it.
He enjoys it.
He enjoys it. He loves the Lord.
He loves Mary.
He loves Mary.
And he enjoys
his cell phone. Okay. Ha 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 ha. I love when they start with that as a title. I laughed along with Christina because on the last Godcast, I thought the same thing she did in thinking that Frank was going to say, welcome to the Godcast Q&A. Ha 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 ha.
And you almost did.
I almost did.
Ah.
All right. Everybody's enjoying that. Next question or comment. April 6th, exclamation point. I know what April 6th is. Oh, because we were wondering.
Yeah,
we thought we had
April
something with April 6th
right.
going on. I know what April 6th is. And then in caps, it's my birthday. Yay!
Yay. So we want to wish you
a happy birthday.
That's what it was. I have it in my calendar.
It was your birthday.
It was your birthday.
Happy birthday. Okay, all right. We don't have enough time.
But we wish you a very happy birthday. This is the best year you ever had.
Woohoo!
Woo!
Expect your greatest blessing ever this year. Because great grace is upon you. Happy birthday.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for this person.
Amen.
Celebrate your life
yes.
today.
Hallelujah. Okay, you're going to like this one. Frank is right when he said to Keith on the video podcast that it's the first of many. Saying the second of many is wrong and does not make sense. I love Keith, but he's wrong. I write this because I get the feeling Frank is not right many times.
I love that. How do they know?
Love you, Frank.
Aw, I love you.
How do you feel about that, Keith? Mm-hmm. Wrong. All right. I love our listeners. They just feel they could just say anything they want, and it's fine.
They can.
Okay. My favorite. Here we go. They wrote this. It's like they transcribed part of the Godcast here. Okay, Christina. You, Frank, this is Christina saying this. You, Frank Sasso, is in the Word of God. You have to find yourself in the Word of God. Frank, how do you do that? How do you find yourself in the Word of God? Christina, I'm not really sure. Frank, he laughs. Love them.
Well,
yeah, how do you find yourself in the Word of God? Do you remember? Do you know how to do it?
Specifically, no, but I think I'm getting close.
Well, she's getting close.
I'm just having fun doing this little Hebrew thing. So I'm getting more and more revelation every day just going through the letters.
Oh, gosh.
So I will keep you posted on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You work on that.
Okay. It's a lifetime work thing going.
Next question is, I want to know. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not fair.
Oh, boy.
What is the quote-unquote situation that Christina has the victory in? And I like that these people are normal. Frank even watches 24. I like that show.
So what do you want? What's the question?
What is the situation you have the victory? Oh, I know what this is about.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yes. I know what it's about.
Are you going to explain the situation?
Do I have time?
I'm going to say you don't have time. Can you basically give the idea of what it was?
All right. Frank says I don't have enough time to go into detail, but I'll just give you a brief update. Since that time, much has changed. I don't have the same position at work. But what's very cool is doors, I'm telling you immediately. Well, here's the key. Because if anybody's going through this, like maybe you lost your job, or maybe you've been laid off, or maybe you've been demoted, whatever that means. Here's the thing. You have to maintain your position in righteousness, mm-hmm. which is you have the victory at all times.
Right.
You are the dominator.
Right.
You dominate in every situation. You are a winner. You walk in as a winner. And the hardest one, I think, for most people is you have to always act in love.
Yes.
So I spent the whole weekend when this happened in prayer and seeking the Lord. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? And he gave me very clear instructions to wipe the dust off my feet. Mm-hmm. And basically get out of town, which means get out of that situation.
Right.
It was time. It was also the seventh year.
That's right. You were there 7 years.
7 years. And that was another Billy Brim thing that I had heard on that. Remember, I told you there were a lot of pieces to that.
Yes.
And that was just another confirmation. Like, I was there 7 years. I think it's new beginning. After the seventh year, the eighth year is a new beginning. And I felt like, okay, I need a clean start. The place that I was at was getting dark. And not that we should run away because things are dark. But there is a time when you, and it says in scripture, brush the dust off your feet and get out of town.
Correct.
And I did. I was obedient. I was kind in it. I was respectful in it, even though it was unjust. And I think there was some deception and dishonesty involved.
Yes.
I left. And before I left, I prayed with people. There was glorious stuff that happened because I chose to walk in love and walk in my righteousness.
Yes. And your anointing.
And my anointing.
Amen.
So now all these doors have opened up for me. Places I'm at now are so much better, so much more light and fun and more professional. It's just really just a better situation, and it was like the best thing. So even though you see something that happens to you, it's like, oh no, this is horrible. It might just be something that's going to open the door to something good.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that you should take calamity and embrace it. I'm not saying that God sends you stuff to teach you. I am not saying that. But I am saying that sometimes there is a time for us to move on and walk through an open door. And that's what I did. And do it in love.
Yes.
So yes, I do have the victory. I did have the victory, and I continue to have the victory, and I'll keep you posted. And I will do, I definitely share with you the glorious things that happened before I walked through the door.
Next up, listening to Tim on the Best Of podcast for women in ministry makes me want to hear him more. Is he coming on again soon? I liked his episode on the video podcast very much, too. Not only is he coming on again soon, I spoke with Tim on Monday night, and possibly, and I'm just going to say this quietly, there might be a possibility of Tim doing his own podcast.
Really?
Under the History with God umbrella.
That would be, ooh.
Yeah.
Now, who's going to edit that one?
Not me. As a matter of fact, I have another bomb to drop. Keith might be doing his own as well, and his own editing. I gave him the name of the editor that I use. So Tim and Keith might be producing their own podcasts soon, in addition to this one.
Oh,
so
good.
There'll be maybe three a week, or maybe they'll do a monthly one, or what, I don't know, but Keith will have his own intro, Tim will have his own intro, maybe he'll do one on disciple. Maybe he'll do a discipleship podcast.
Well, we had told him that we had this conversation at Starbucks.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, and he had this revelation as he was praying with his daughter.
Yeah.
And I really thought it was great, so I wanted him to share that in a podcast. And
yeah,
he's actually working on that.
He's getting a handle on yeah, that revelation and how that all worked out. So, yeah, amen. Okay, there were two emails that were sent in, and then we got to close this out.
Aww.
For April. This email came to us through the website, on the podcast page of the website. Mm-hmm. And here's the review. This is awesome. My wife and I don't have iTunes and have always wanted to leave a review but couldn't. We listen to the podcast on the website every week here and have often had the thought, I wish I could just leave a review right here, and now we can. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I think we have heard every podcast from 2013 to now. My wife and I are slowly making our way through the 2012 folder now. We love the podcast and love how laid back everyone is with the Word of God. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
Laid back, and yet there's an excitement about Jesus that is very contagious. Some of these podcasts have gotten my wife and I through some very hard times. All the speakers on them are exceptional, and our favorite segment on the podcast are the Q&A time with Christina and Frank. That's actually our favorite song, too. We think it's great that this ministry allows time to minister to listeners who have questions and testimonies. Thank you for a podcast to take us through the week. Well, thank you for listening. That's
and
very humbling.
That idea to do that, to put the review right on the website.
Like an opportunity or a way to leave a review.
That was from Teresa. She said, you need to do that because I can't figure out iTunes.
That's
yeah, I'm with you there on that. So this is just trying to make it easy for you guys.
Yeah, it's so easy to do now.
You can just do it right there on the website.
Right.
So.
And finally, the last one. This is from Michael. Michael, sit down. We're going to explain some things.
Yep.
In the most recent episode of the Video Godcast, Frank and Keith are in a cafe.
When are you not in a cafe?
Is that a real cafe? Where is it located? Is the menu real? Because the prices seem very strange to me for what you're buying. I think it's real, because why would Frank read the prices if it weren't real? What? I don't understand. I think, this is great. It gets better. I think Keith is the smartest one there.
But yet he was wrong.
Well, not according to this person.
But on the other listener says, you're wrong, because Frank is so often not right.
I think Keith is the smartest one there because he's always in charge of the money.
Well, he's
always in charge of the money.
He is. He is always in charge of the money.
Please answer my questions on the Q&A part of the podcast. We would answer them at any other part of the podcast.
Well, I have to say, if Keith was so smart, why is he going to this crazy coffee house where, what is it, stale muffins are $15 or something?
No, the babka is $15.
$15.
Get it right.
Are you getting a whole babka or are you just getting a slice?
I don't know. I didn't order it.
Because $15 for a slice of babka is not worth it.
That's
going
to be some good babka.
I hope you people know what babka is.
If you don't, you can Google it.
Yes.
Okay? Google that.
Yes. But,
Michael, all right, so really quick, is it a real cafe?
It is a real
cafe. It's a real cafe, but...
it's in somebody's house.
No one really knows about it yet.
It's... well, explain what it is.
It's a real cafe in the sense that, yes, it's the Seek First Cafe, meaning for Youth Avenue, they do a meeting every single Friday night starting at 9 p.m., and they do it at the Seek First Cafe. So it's in Mary's home.
Right.
Mary Corey.
They actually segmented off a part of their living room.
Yes.
This is dedication.
This is cool.
And they actually built a little cafe in there.
Yeah, go to Youth Avenue TV on the YouTube, on the YouTube channel, and you can actually see other things shot right where Keith and I are sitting.
And they do serve coffee and little...
croissants. We had croissants. On the menu.
Oh, okay. But love is always free.
Love is free.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm sure if you get in touch with them, they would welcome... They would totally have you come over.
Sure. Even if you're not even local. Where is it located? We just explained where it's located. Is the menu... I love this. Is the menu real? Because the prices seem very strange to me for what you're buying.
I don't think the menu's real. I think the menu's supposed to be a joke. But they do serve coffee. That is real. And they serve snacks.
Michael, my question to you is this. You think the menu is real because why would I bother reading it if it weren't real? Well, that's kind of the reason I read it, because it's not real.
You read it because it wasn't real?
Well, yeah, I read it because I'm like, okay, imagining this is like a real menu.
You read it because it's funny.
Yeah, because it's not real.
Be funny.
Right, so I read it.
Oh, okay. Cause you didn't read it because it's not real. You read it because it was funny. Moving on.
So that's going to close out the Godcast Q&A for April 2014. Remember, April 15th, the first blood moon. Watch for it.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome.
I don't know if you can see it in all areas, so check out your particular wherever you are and just check it out. See, maybe you can find it. So, that being said...
until next week, remember this. We love you.
Yes.
God loves you.
Absolutely.
And Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.